Well, research has taught us that the human brain is highly dynamic, constantly reorganizing, and is malleable across its entire lifespan. And it can generate new brain cells critical to learning and memory throughout its life. So how does it change with time? And what do we need to ensure that we maintain our brain health as we age? Well, here with some answers is Patrick Van Beveren. He's a doctor of physical therapy and the physical therapy supervisor from the centers at St. Camillus. Welcome, Patrick. Thank you so much for coming
Thank you for having me, Linda.
So let's just review quickly what happens to our brain as we age, and what do we have to be mindful of then?
Well, I really think you can equate it to your body. It is so variable how the brain ages based on how we use it. So just like your body, if you use it a lot, if you keep it strong, if you challenge it, your body ages well. So the same thing happens with the brain. And it does go back to that adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm-hmm. So the more we use our brain, the more we challenge ourselves, the more social we are, the better our brain ages.
That's a really, I think, a key point. And you're saying that's true throughout the lifespan.
Throughout the lifespan. And the research shows the earlier we challenge it and the more we challenge it, the more reserve we create. Now, we can't stop the aging process. We're going to lose as we age. But if we challenge ourselves and we start out on a very high level, as we lose it, we really maintain our function well into older age.
That's really very hopeful. And it strikes me that it says a lot for the importance of education, obviously, and the continuation of keeping your brain active, as you've said. So it's not like you're not saying to people, so at a certain point, put down the basketball and pick up the book. It's more like both.
Well, as it turns out, exercise, or even more generally, physical activity really is the anti-aging intervention. It helps the body, but it helps the brain. One thing to keep in mind, though, is all exercise is not created equal. So it turns out for the brain that aerobic exercise that stresses your cardiovascular function is what's good for the brain. And there's also an adage for that. What's good for the heart is good for the brain.
Very good. But let me help us clarify, because I know that sometimes people don't exactly understand when we say aerobic exercise. Right. Give me some examples.
Biking, walking, running, swimming, skiing, anything where you're going to get out of breath a little bit. That's challenging your aerobic system.
So is it, you mentioned that it's something that you should start early, but is it ever too late to start focusing on some of these things?
It's never too late. It's just like the body, that it's never too late to start working on strengthening exercises, which maintain your function. It's never too late to start working on those activities that challenge the brain. And not only do you decrease the decline that occurs, but you also have the capacity to improve at any age, and those studies have been done.
I think that's, again, very hopeful and very, very, I think a lot of people don't quite understand that in the lay population, that you really can be improving your brain, even as you say, you lose some of your functioning.
And I think there's a lot of people who tend to think that they're controlled by genetics, which is not true. Lifestyle is hugely important. And again, it's for, you know, lifestyle for how we function with our body and lifestyle how our brain is able to age successfully.
So what exactly, well, let me just take a step aside for a minute. When we talk about our brain and our brain health, very often people think we're talking mostly about things like memory, especially as we age, because I think that's the first thing that people feel that they begin to lose. You know, can't think of a word, can't think of a person's name, you know, where did I put my keys, those kinds of things. But it's much more than that, isn't it?
It is, but First, let me talk just a minute about that. It's one thing to forget where you put your keys. It's a very different thing to forget what the keys are for. And people should not become so paranoid about, you know, their memory loss. But you're right. The brain is multifunctional. And there's very higher level types of activities that also play into cognitive health, decision making, judgment, the ability to socialize, thinking, planning,
analyzing, problem solving,
all of those functions. And that's a way also to judge where you are in terms of your cognitive health.
So what exactly should you be doing, I guess, and where should you begin? If let's say you decide, maybe I haven't been doing as much for my brain at a certain point in my life that I could be doing. I mean, many of us get caught up in rote tasks after our education ceases, let's say, and we get involved in our job, but we don't necessarily do things to expand the way we think or challenge our brains. So what are the kinds of things we should be doing?
Well, I think directly related to challenging our brain, they're like taking classes, educational classes, learning a language late in life, learning how to use the computer. All of those things are very good in terms of mental stimulation. But you can't separate that from what I refer to as the big three, and that's physical activity, good nutrition, and stress reduction, all of which also play into how we age cognitively.
Tell me a little bit more about that. But first, I want to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink On Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with aging specialist Patrick Van Beveren. And we're talking about how to keep the brain healthy lifelong and perhaps even prevent dementia. So the big three, state them again, and let's talk about examples.
Physical activity, nutrition, and stress reduction.
Okay, so physical activity, generally stay active.
And if you're going to start any place, you get your biggest bang for your buck from physical activity. Unfortunately, we've become a very sedentary society.
Things are too easy.
Things are too easy, and most of our inventions are to make our life easier, and it gives us the perception that easy is good. It's not hard is good. Challenge is good, both for the body and for the mind. So physical activity is a broad category, and do the things that you enjoy. If exercise happens to be one of those, that's one form of physical activity.
But you're saying staying physically active on the move is really pretty much something you should do on a daily basis.
It's critical. And, you know, I am working at a nursing home. And I often see people who are either sitting down or laying down 22 hours a day. You know, they are not getting stronger. They're not stimulating their mind. Physical activity is really big.
But what you're also suggesting is, long before you get to that point, perhaps,
Yes. If
you have these kind of practices throughout your life, the chances are that you'll have a greater reserve as you reach those senior years and beyond, you know, really even older old age. So tell me about nutrition. So what kind of general statements would you make about that? Is it important to watch what you eat, for example, and weight control, those kinds of things?
Again, if you keep in mind what's good for the heart is good for the brain, we become very familiar with what's good for the heart. And basically, if you're eating plants and fruits and avoiding animal products, you're doing good things for your heart. Well, it's the same for the brain. Aerobic activity gets blood to the brain, but you got to have the right nutrition in the blood. So you have to have quantity of blood, but also quality of blood, and that's how nutrition plays into that.
That's a very good visual metaphor, actually, to think about what nutrients you're driving to the brain. So that depends on what you take in.
Right.
So tell us about stress reduction. Why is that important?
Stress releases certain chemicals in the body that causes a deterioration of the brain cells. And we live in a very stressful society. And the way we react to stress, it's referred to as a fight or flight response. So those chemicals that are released, they key us up. They put us in a situation to fight.
Yeah.
So
like
our
defense,
heart rate goes
defensive
up.
Defensive or offensive posture.
Right. And that, it's not good for the heart. It's not going to be good for the brain either.
So throughout your life, it sounds to me, to at least to recognize levels of stress within you and perhaps throughout your life develop better and better ways of reducing those stress chemicals or reducing those stress reactions.
Right. And if you just read any of the popular literature, there are information about how to do relaxation. And if you can do that, that's great. But also, if you find things that relax you, listening to music, going to the movies, you know, and I think to cut across everything, socialization is huge. A lot of older adults become very isolated. If you're socially active, you're using your body, you're staying physically active, you're challenging your mind. You can't socialize without thinking what the person's talk about, planning what you're going to say, remembering what you did so that you can tell other people. And typically, socialization relaxes you. So if you can keep people in social situations, it helps with everything.
Just briefly, in the little time we have left, I know we're involved in some kind of a course, actually, through HealthLink locally to help probably senior citizens largely to kind of address some of these issues and become more aware of them. Give me an example of how you would recommend someone beginning, if they haven't done, I mean, one would hope you've done some of these things throughout your life, but if you wanted to kind of like turn over a new leaf and start to really kind of focus on the big three, right. Give me an example of what a week might be like.
Right. And again, it's like taking on an exercise program. I would recommend start low, go slow, be successful. So you're going to do something where you have to be physically active. Take a walk. Maybe just 2 or 3 times a week, maybe just a quarter of a mile. Just get started. Pick something nutritionally that you know is not good for you. Just drop it out. Don't eat it. Or pick something you know that is good for you nutritionally and start to eat it. And again, only plan. Maybe it's fish. Maybe you're going to have fish once that week because you know that that is good for you. And then stress reduction. Put aside a time. It might be 5 minutes. It may be 2 or 3 days a week. Put aside a time where you're going to do something that helps you to relax. And get in the habit of doing it and then build upon that as you go.
That's really excellent advice. Very excellent advice. Have you found that in teaching these types of principles, people have latched on to them? Have they been successful in their efforts?
Within our classes, we do what we call action plans. And we constantly go back to people form a plan, and then we ask them, did you stick to it? And when they don't, then everybody in the class talks about, well, how can you make it better so you're going to stick to it? And by the time we get to the end of our 6-week class, people have an action plan for stress, for physical activity, for nutrition, for mental stimulation, and people are sticking to it. And now we're doing follow-up classes also, so they get a chance to come back once a month and talk about where they are with their action plan.
That sounds unbelievably wonderful. Well, I wish you all the best with that endeavor, and it sounds like this advice is good. Even without a class, people can get started.
Absolutely.
And it's very hopeful to think that if you do these kinds of things, especially the big three, that you really can maintain your brain health.
There's no doubt about it. There's a preponderance of research out there that says you can, and all we've done is take what's in the literature and apply it to a classroom situation.
Thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Patrick Van Beveren. He's a doctor of physical therapy, and he is a physical therapy supervisor from the centers at St. Camillus. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.